Welcome to the show. You know where you are. Well, I hope you know where you are. Expert Talk with Tego. And as always, I love bringing experts. You know that. I love bringing people that have creative minds, that have gone through journeys you can relate to and come out the other side smelling like roses sometimes. I don't know about that. But today, today. Now, if you've thought about real estate, if you said, man, if I could only sell something, I could make that seven or eight figures. If you said, if I was in the know, then I'd know where to go. Today is the day you want to be watching the show. Because today we got Bryce McKinley here, and he is going to share his journey. He's going to talk to you a little bit about something called wholesale real estate. Now, that is not those little yellow stickers that you see on the meat at like the grocery store. This is real stuff. He knows what he's doing. You want to be here today. So sit right there. We'll be right back.
Expert Talk is brought to you in part by PodNation TV, the podcast to broadcast network. Expert Talk is produced and distributed by Melrose 11 LLC. Lights, cameras, take action with Melrose 11.
What's going on, lady? I'm excited. Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I'm amazing. I'm even better now that you're here. You know, I'm a little confused because your hat's going backwards. What does that say?
Yeah, so this says sharpen. I've got a few of them. I've got a dark one somewhere around here. But yeah, I've got a few different hats. It says sharpen, like the Bible says, right? Like iron sharpens iron, so does one another to his brother. It's hashtag sharpen. They call me Coach Sharpen. I'm sure we'll get into that. But I believe that we can learn easily if we have very simple, clear, and precise processes. And so what better way to start an interview than just drop some fire? And so I love that question. Sharpen is an acronym that stands for selflessly helping already persons eager for nurture.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so I do a lot of live streams and live content. And so when I do, it actually reverses. And yeah, that's what that's for.
Now, see, he knows the next question I'm about to ask is, how do I get my hat? I mean, you can't share that and not give me a hat. What's going on? How do I get my hat, Bryce? What's up?
I think the store that I got it is called Lids. I created a really good relationship with the hat guy at the mall. And now every 3 months, I just go in and get a new supply. So he's got my pattern. He just, yeah, I don't sell them. It's really just for me and my content. And that's about it.
I'm thinking you need to do like Sharpen E or something with a little hyphen or whatever. And then we could be all part of your tribe, you know, just kind of.
Like, you know, some sharpeners kind of thing?
Yeah, something like that. Sharpeners, you know, Sharpen Junior, something. You know, so we can be a part of your tribe. Because you know that, you know, we're raving fans. I know I'm a raving fan. You know, we had the opportunity to speak not too long ago. And your story is amazing. And I said, I've got to get this guy to come on the show. And thank you so much for coming on. You know, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the fact that there's somebody sitting at home right now that's going, yeah, I've heard of that guy. He's one of the top, you know, coaches in the world. I've seen him here or there. I've been in events where he's been on my stage, blah, blah, blah. I can never be that guy. You know, I didn't have a silver spoon when I grew up. I didn't have, you know, Ivy League schools when I grew up. I can never be Bryce. They don't really know you, do they?
No. You know, we've all seen that poster with like the iceberg, right? Like you see the top of it, you hear about overnight successes, but you don't see the pits and valleys that someone's crawled through to get there, literally crawled through to get there. And my story's a lot like that, you know? And so hopefully by the end of this interview, you know, my intention, Tigo, is to not only share my story, but my intention is to encourage anyone and everyone that's listening that anything is possible. I mean, I came from nothing. I built a massive organization, lost it all, and I've been able to build it back up with little to no formal education. I mean, I believe that there's always light at the end of the tunnel. And when you're in a shadow, there's light somewhere casting that shadow. And so, like a sword being crafted by a master craftsman, sometimes you have to just go through the fire to be sharpened for your calling. And so if you're listening to my story, I hope that you're not just inspired to trust the process, but you keep on pushing. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And you and I, you know, we come from pretty much the same neighborhood, South Side of Chicago. It's like, we know what that is. And in the South Side of Chicago, it's always going to be inside me, but that city can eat you up if you don't have, you know, the right people in your corner, if you get involved in the wrong environment or something, or just happen to be standing in the wrong spot at the wrong time, you know, your life can change forever. And you went through a journey like that when you were just a teenager, correct?
I mean, at the end of the day, it was a rocky roller coaster. You know, I remember even after, as I look back, you know, on what I went through, like, I remember the like ignite moment, like the punch in the gut that kind of said, all right, this is who you are. But it took years trying to find that. You know, I grew up in a very cult-like religion. Tigo, do you mind if I get vulnerable with your audience? Can I share?
Oh yes, please. I'm all ears, and I know they are too.
Yeah, so this might be a little longer answer, but I think that someone listening to this that is looking for the expert, that just wants to understand, like, why should I listen to this guy? It's because my story doesn't just start as a teenager. I mean, my story as an entrepreneur starts like way back when I was 5, 6, 7 years old. I always had this determination to look for validation. I mean, how many of us entrepreneurs wanted validation? We wanted our mom or our dad to be happy. We wanted our boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, spouses, whatever, to be happy. We looked for validation.
Yes, sir.
Well, I knew growing up very poor and in like a cult-like religion that I needed to help my family out. And that's what we do in the Chicago, right? Like I almost said in the shot, because that's the hood coming out of
it. Right,
baby. Like in the shot, like we help each other out, you know? And so it's like growing up in Northern Illinois, back and forth from family on the Illinois-Iowa border, hanging out in Chicago in the inner city. Like, I knew that I was destined to help a crowd. And at the time, I thought it was my family. And so while I looked for validation from my parents, like, hey, am I doing a good job? Hey, Dad, come out and play. Like, no, go play. I got work to do, kind of thing. Dad's working 2-3 jobs. Mom's babysitting in the afternoon and working a job in the morning when me and my brother went to school. I wanted to help. And so my journey in entrepreneurship and in my expertise, and I'm sure we'll get into it, which is really sales and persuasion, started out like 7, 8 years old. Wow. And I begged my parents for an opportunity to get a job. I wanted to be a paper boy, like the dream, right? Everybody wanted to be a paper boy back in the 80s, late 70s and 80s, right? And Tigo, I don't know if you ever had a paper route or if you know or remember, but do you remember?
For 2 weeks. Yeah, we'll get into that later.
You remember the little tear-off tabs you had to go around and collect, and that was kind of like their receipt?
Yep.
Well, we had competitions in the paper route company, right? It was the Daily Dispatch. I don't know if you remember that publication. It was a smaller publication.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, and I went to work for him. I went knocking on doors, selling newspapers. One day I came home, however, and my parents had me sit down at the kitchen table.
Okay.
And of course, I mean, no disrespect to Karens out there, but her name was Karen, and she fit the stereotype.
Uh-oh.
Karen, my route manager, sat me down, and she said, I just assumed you were older than what you were. I mean, mind you, fast forward 40-plus years, like I'm 6'5 and 265. I'm a huge man. I was also a huge kid. Mm-hmm. What I didn't realize is you had to be 10 to have a paper out in Illinois. That was kind of their, like, the rule. So I was losing my job. I was getting fired for what would be the first and last time of my life. I was no longer going to allow someone else to determine my destiny.
Wow.
So I remember looking at my dad, and my dad was just kind of like, eh. My mom, I could tell she was sad for me. Then I looked back at Karen and I said this. I said, Karen, obviously you thought that I could do a great job and my parents believed in me. Why don't we just put the route in my dad's name? And if I do a good job when I turn 10, give me more responsibilities. Wouldn't you know it? She did exactly that. I turned 10 a year and a half, 2 years later, and I had 6 routes. And not only that, by the time I turned 10, I had everyone off the old knocking doors and tab receipts. They were paying their bill in the office. And so I was actually getting paid more per customer than anyone in the organization.
Wow.
Making more money at 8, 9, and 10 years old than my parents were combined with their 3 jobs. I was hustling, lady. I remember taking them out to eat and after church on Sundays and buying dinner for the family. It was a good feeling. I love being able to provide, and I found solace in that.
It's a great feeling, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, that shadow that I talk about came around that 11, 12 year mark. You see, my parents ended up going through a divorce like a lot of families nowadays do. And my mom moving into subsidized housing and the projects, and my dad moving out to a different area of town and being kind of the weekend dad that he was, like, this is what the court said. I found myself engulfed in gangs and violence and drugs and drug dealing. And wouldn't you know it, by the age of 17, I was facing 2 counts of manslaughter, some conspiracy and drug trafficking charges. Like, my life was going down the drain. Obviously, things didn't work out the way that they could have, because I'm sitting here today.
Yeah.
I had an opportunity. Yeah. I'm too blessed to be stressed, as Manny Lopez would say, right? Like, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Because I'll never forget hearing the sound of the gavel when the judge said that my cases were dismissed due to some technicalities. I shouldn't be sitting here. I did what they said that I did.
Wow.
But they found no fault. And I was released. And I'll never forget, my uncle grabbed me by the ear, took me out of the courtroom and said, you're going to live with me. And that's really where my professional and corporate life kind of started taking over, because I was blessed not to have any felony convictions. I had a second chance at life, and my uncle moving me out to where he was from, or where he was living, which was Davenport, Iowa, on the other side of the Illinois border, he put me to work detailing cars at a car dealership, watching fast money and good cars and good money and fast cars, however you want to look at it. I knew that I could do what they were doing. And so I begged and I begged and I begged and I begged and I begged my uncle for this opportunity. And I'll never forget, my uncle said, if you can sell a car today, I'll put you on the sales team next week.
Wow.
What I didn't share was, what's that?
Could you?
Could I? The answer is always yes, you can. But it's, are you willing?
Right.
Are you willing? And I was hungry. As my friend Les Brown would say, I was hungry. And I was so hungry that the fact that it was snowing and blizzard outside, that all the car salesmen that day never showed up to the dealership, That wasn't going to stop me. That wasn't going to deter me. I opened up the yellow pages and I started dialing. I opened up the white pages and I started dialing. And wouldn't you know it, by the end of the day, I sold the car. But not just one. Three cars. I sold two trucks and a car in the middle of a blizzard. Excuse me. And I was hooked. I was hooked. I love the art of persuasion and more so helping people get what they want. I believe that selling is a service and not something that should come with this stigma or dogma that you got to be a sleazy salesperson. I just don't believe that.
Yeah. I mean, you're a good guy. You're a really good guy. And I would never say, you know, here's a used car salesman, you know, that they get that stigma, like you said, you know, here's that, oh no, you're not going to sell me something, are you? You know, but like somebody taught me years ago, either you're being sold or you're selling every day, whether you know it or not, every single day you're being sold or being or selling. That's amazing, especially if you just sell three cars in a blizzard, because the weather in Wisconsin and Illinois, you don't want to mess with that. You know, it starts snowing. You just stay in the house.
I'm in December. My birthday's Christmas Eve. This was the middle of December. I wanted to be on the sales team. We've already got a few inches of snow, right? Before the blizzard came in. I'll never forget that. So
let me ask you something before we get into the next part of your story, because it's one heck of a story to tell. You know, what about fear? Because here you are, a teenager, you're fighting, you're hungry for your right to just get out there and show what you can do. You know, at that time, I'm assuming that you're still in high school, you know, you're waiting to go to college, wherever you're at right there with your education. But you want this shot. And then you meet people. I know I meet people, I'm assuming you do too, that are in their 30s, their 40s, their 50s, somewhere in their 70s. They've never like pursued their dream or their passion because they were afraid of it. They were afraid of what people think and if they can do it right, and they're afraid they're gonna mess up. Are you afraid of anything, one? And if you are, how do you address fear?
Yeah, I love that question. Here's the simplistic answer, no. Am I scared? Sometimes. Am I fearful? No. There's a difference in my book, and I truly believe that. I believe that, you know, a lot of leaders and entrepreneurs that are going to listen to this need to hear what I'm about to say next. Leaders, you need to stop worrying about being in charge and start worrying about those in your charge. Because at the end of the day, I know this, it's okay to be scared, but it's not okay to be fearful. I didn't know what to expect. Like, you take a dog out of the dog fight, that doesn't mean you took the fight out of the dog. And that's what happened. I got out of the environment, but I still had that determination. I was going to be the best dope dealer when I was dealing. Now I'm going to be the best car salesman I could be. I didn't know what it looked like, but I knew that I had a shot. I knew that I had an opportunity. And if that door was open, I was willing to step through. Sometimes you have to step through the door, not knowing what's on the other side. Even if you get a black eye, you still went into the next room. You still went to that next level. You learned from it. And now you might peek around the door as you step into it. There's a difference, right? So being scared and being fearful are two different things. I always, you know, I've really been thinking about this. Honestly, it's crazy that we're talking about this, because literally in the last month, a lot of things have been happening in my faith walk and in my mission in life. And I'm sure we're going to get to that. It has nothing to do, but everything to do with where it's gotten me here. But I'll tell you this. I was in deep meditation about 3-4 weeks ago, and I heard like the voice of God. I call him bro because he's kind of gangster to me. You can call him Allah, Jehovah, Jireh, whatever. I call him bro. He's pretty gangster. I heard him say this. It's okay to be scared. Just don't be full of fear. And then I seen this picture. How many of us listening to this, watching this right now, remember when you were a little child and you were scared of the dark, you were scared of something under your bed or in the closet? Growing up where we grew up, everything, right?
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah. I always keep that head on the swivel.
run to your mom's room, run out to the couch, and you're being held and you're embraced. You're no longer fearful. You're still a little scared. Mm-hmm. That's okay. That's okay. Knowing that you're safe and being scared is okay. But not allowing fear to dominate will allow you to step out on faith. And when you get to the other side and you look back, like, not too bad. Not too bad. So that's how I look at life. I look at things like, I'm okay. Sometimes I'm scared. We just went from 15 employees in one of our organizations to 40 in the last 30 days. That was scary. I knew it had to happen.
I heard this man say in one of his organizations, 15 to 40. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to his story. But I just want y'all to understand what the man is talking about. Okay. Go ahead, brother. Keep going.
Yeah. So I don't live in fear. I live in faith. And faith drives me to push through being scared. Right. And so I took that bull by the horn. My uncle gave me the shot. I made it happen. He put me on the sales team. And I went to work. That's all I knew how to do was just work and grind. I barely graduated high school. My credits transferred. And when they transfer out of the city, they don't really mean a whole lot. And so I had to take 4 language arts classes to graduate high school. I barely passed that. Paid a girl. Thank you, Natalie. I appreciate you to write some of my essays for me. And yeah, she did an amazing job in my writing. But yeah, I'll never forget. He gave me that shot. I took it. I shot my shot, right? Like Wayne Gretzky said, you miss every shot you don't take.
Exactly.
And I don't know where he heard it, but my son once said that the answer, if you don't ask, the answer is always no. And so I learned to just ask for the deal, ask for the opportunity. And when presented, step through. And that's what I did. And so to go over the next like 2.5-3 years, I just went to work. I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know that even to this day, 2021, as we're recording this, that the national average car salesperson closes between 12 and 13 deals a month. That's average. Okay. The big guys do 20 or 25 cars a month.
Okay.
Right? My first year in the business, I was averaging 45 to 50 cars a month. I had a 10-year average of 75 cars a month. And from the age of 18 to 22, I broke and held all the records still to this day. And I haven't sold a car in 12, 13 years.
Wow.
I ended up at the age of 22 getting recruited out of my dealership and formed my very first organization, excuse me, which was just a small consulting company. And I was traveling the world with Ford Motor Company, 22, 23, 24. And then later I was picked up by Nissan and Toyota and Honda to teach people in the automotive industry how to sell better, but to create a process in which leads wouldn't fall through the cracks. Wow. And by the age of 24, 25, I was doing tens of millions of dollars and I didn't know how to manage it. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just grinding. I just went to work. So.
Wow. That's an amazing story. Now, before we skip on down the road, I've got to go back and ask because you mentioned your son. You know, if your son walks in the door and he says, Dad, I want to be a doctor. I don't want to go to college, or I do want to be an entrepreneur. Do you have in your mind how you're going to direct him, or are you going to let him be a free spirit?
That's a great question. I don't believe that allowing a child to direct themselves is wise. You know, whether you believe in the Bible or not, the Bible says it's the best all-time selling book of all times, still is, still will be, in my opinion. It will continue. The Bible says, and I use this thing as like a training manual in my family. The Bible says, raise a child in the way that it should go and it'll never depart from them. Sure, they're going to make mistakes. That's going to happen. But I thank my lucky stars that even while my parents were not perfect, they gave me the foundation. And so letting my child be a free spirit and pick their whatever, I'm not going to go into all the politics, but pick whatever they want to be professionally, right, and personally and physically, like That's just not wise. That's not wisdom. They don't know what they don't know. I mean, you look at a toddler, right? Like, they know the living room floor, and when they bump their head, oh, there's a coffee table. Why would I let the two-year-old decide what they want to do with their life? Fast forward to 10. Oh, there's a street and a block around the corner. Now I got three or four blocks I can go around my neighborhood. Like, why would I let that 10-year-old decide what they're going to do? Am I going to support them? Sure. How do you best support the people you love? By chastise, discipline, and asking better questions. Wow. You want to be a doctor? Tell me more about that. What type of doctor do you want to be? Veterinarian. That's exciting. Is that because you want to deal with animals? Well, no, they make a lot of money. Make a lot of money. Yeah, I could see where that would be rewarding. Let me ask you, have you read anything about what you have to study to become a veterinarian? Do you know how much school you need to take?
Medical school too.
I'd be willing to overwhelm them with all the facts and then let them make an educated decision. But at age 10, not happening. I mean, this kid's done over $20 million in the last 3 years, and he just quit the last 9 months. I'm not going to make him do something he doesn't want to do, but I'm sure as heck not going to let him do whatever he wants to do. There's a difference.
I am loving it. So let me ask you this one. If you did not, we're going to assume everything was good, but if you did not start working at a car dealership, you know, and now we're going to get into real estate and all that after the break, what direction do you think you would have went in as an adult? When you were a teen, were you thinking about where you were going to go in your 20s, or were you just kind of, you know, just dealing with each day as it came?
Yeah, I think in that point in my life, I just dealt with it as it came. And I still don't go too far past that, because never is the day promised. Right. I remember riding the red line into the city and going down and sitting on the benches at the pier and just dreaming about having an office in the penthouse. Right. Like having an office in a penthouse in one of those buildings. That was the life.
Oh, yeah. I think you were probably on the bench next to me. I think I saw you.
Yeah. And I remember that was my dream. I didn't know how I was going to get there, but that was what I was manifesting. I didn't know what type of position was in that corner office with the penthouse suite. I didn't know, but I knew that I would be there. I could see it. I could feel it, smell it, taste it. That lifestyle, I just embodied myself with the actions that it takes to be that type of person. And so while I was doing things incorrectly by the terms and eyes of society, I was learning some very good disciplines in business and personal habits, waking up early when, you know, and it's crazy that we talk about this, but like when the dope man goes to bed at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning, heck, I'm just getting up at 3, 4 in the morning. Cause guess what? Everybody that wants to get served is now looking for someone to serve them. So I go where the people are, and I do the same thing in business. When everybody's going this way, I go this way. And I believe that I'm different in that respect, because I do believe that being different is better than being better.
You know, I know you are the Muhammad Ali of sales, of influence, of just finding your way. You're a fighter, man. You float like a butterfly. You know, sting like a bee. You really do. And every time I've talked to you now, it's like, I want to hear more. I've got to know more. How did this man build this world? You've not built a business. You built a world, and you've changed a lot of people's lives. And we're going to get into that. And now, you know, we talked about you being in the car industry, and then you went into real estate, and you really started blazing. I mean, you know, 4-lane highway and Lakeshore Drive, kind of a trail for people to follow. So let's take a break. And then when we come back, let's talk about what you're doing now and how you got here. Because if you guys thought, I'm going to take it now, if you thought what he already shared was amazing, the fact that this man made records in the auto industry that they still have not touched. And then he left that. So when you're sitting comfortably saying, I want to go do this, this is what my heart's calling me to do, but you don't want to go and make a change because what am I, crazy? I'm being successful where I am now. Sometimes you got to follow your heart. So sit right there. We're going to find out just how Bryce followed his heart and blazed a brand new trail. So sit right there. We'll be right back.
Expert Talk is brought to you in part by PodNation TV, the podcast to broadcast network.
Hey, welcome back. And you guys know where you are, Expert Talk with Tego. And we're in the middle of talking with Bryce, and he's shared his journey to this point. And you might get this idea, well, this guy's just lucky. This guy makes it happen. So let's talk about it, Bryce. You were comfortable living a great life. If you're selling the kind of cars that you're selling, you're living a great life. Why would you leave that world and go blaze a different trail?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it's a little sombering as I think about it, because I remember the moment vividly. Mm-hmm. The night was hot. The air was dense. My emotions were raw and ragged. I had just gotten off the phone with my brother. We were going to start a new business. And I had used my 40 cal before, and it had never jammed, and it had never jammed since. But on the night that my life would be changed forever, I sat in the front seat of my car that had been my home for the previous 9-10 months, and with my infant son sleeping in his car seat behind me, the gun I had pointed it in my mouth, pulled the trigger not once, not twice, but three times. It jammed. It was close to 2 a.m. I pulled out my gun to do the unthinkable. I parked on the busy side of the street on the north side of McKinney, Texas, which is a North Dallas suburb, to make sure that someone would find my son the next day. You see, I had succumbed to my breaking point. Some of you need to be inspired today. Some of you are going through some things. And The late night hour where the streets are eerily quiet allowed me to perform this task. Nearby was a water tower with a patch of trees and woods behind it. And for months, I had been parking my car behind the water tower from the passing traffic so that my son and I could sleep there undetected. That's right. We were homeless. My car had become our home, and concealed behind the structure of the water tower, we were never hassled or bothered there. I'd attempted to stay in shelters, but my son, just a few months old, didn't do well sleeping in the shelters. And so staying in my vehicle was easy. We'd spent several months sleeping behind this water tower leading up to the night that my gun jammed in my mouth. And that night, September 28, 2011, I'd just gotten off the phone with my brother. We had been discussing this new business. Things are feeling good. We're on a high note. We were positive about what we were going to be doing. But literally within 20 minutes hanging up the phone, my mindset shifted back to my current and desperate reality. Homeless, penniless, in a nasty custody battle with my son's biological mom. Months of court battles, lawyer fees had burned through my savings, and I sunk into like deep feelings of just giving up. You see, life had hit me hard. My world was crumbling, and everything going forward just felt too difficult to overcome.
Wow.
With $32 left in my pocket, I used a tattered piece of paper. I think it was even a napkin. I wrote a letter to my son. I wrote a letter to my mom saying I was sorry. I just couldn't do it. Please forgive me. And then I took my car out into the busy street, knowing that somebody would find it, find my son, find mom's contact information. And like a robot on autopilot, I pulled my gun out, put it in my mouth, cocked it, pulled the trigger. It jammed. You see, a lot has to happen to a man in that moment. Memories and priorities, purpose, regrets, anger, sorrow, and the fragmented feelings of God all come rushing in within seconds, right?
Yes, sir.
And with my life flashing before me, I instantly was reminded of my childhood. You see, Remember I told you I grew up in a very strict, like cult-like religion, a lot of man-made doctrines. And despite the strict disciplines, I learned a lot of great work ethics. I learned high moral values when I was 11 and my parents separating and the drugs and the gangs and the violence, like a disarray, constantly just growing up, fighting to survive. You see, I told you about my journey from 11 to 17. I told you about my journey with my uncle taking me in.
Yeah.
That's when I learned that service is selling and mastering the art of conversation. You see, the success that I had going from one Ford dealership to the next, right? Like when you drive by the Ford dealership and you see the five-star certification, that's my training program.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
But that success not only catapulted me to the top of my industry, winning several prestigious awards, multiple other companies hiring me for 7- and 8-figure contracts. Like I had been dealing with the love of my life, all the cars, all the toys, everything. I married a woman that I had known all my life. My wife's mom was my Sunday school teacher growing up. Like, wow. We didn't have a traditional relationship. It was open because we didn't really believe in anything conforming, confining, or following any rules. And so while technically we were only married on paper for a little while, we had known each other all of our lives. And so while I grew this $10 million, $20 million, $50 million company consulting with these companies and organizations in and around the automotive industry, like we were just working. Mm-hmm. She had 5 brick and mortars, 2 salons, and 3 childcare facilities. Like we were traveling, indulging and overindulging in everything we wanted in life. I'm 24, 25 years old, spending like crazy. Had a $300,000 boat I was driving once a year just for the heck of it. Between the contracts I had and her businesses, I mean, we were doing upwards of $60+ million a year between the two of us. And that's when everything came crashing down. You see, my wife had had a baby with another man, and I didn't really see it as betrayal, because we had an open relationship and I accepted that it had happened. But sadly, the baby ended up becoming ill. He was about 5-6 months old, ended up in the hospital, and the doctors mistakenly put a do not resuscitate order on him. It was supposed to be on the other baby in the same room. The doctor panicked when our boy started asphyxiating on his vomit and didn't resuscitate him. Rather, chose to smother him. And so over the next year and a half, we went through countless legal depositions and lawsuits. It was emotionally and financially draining. And despite the loss my wife was going through, all I knew how to do was keep working. Mm-hmm. And so while my wife managed her stress and depression, of course I was a hard worker, I just wasn't a great husband. And when the baby passed, my wife struggled to cope with this loss. And so what did I do? I just worked to deal with the problems. And Friday, June 13th, 2008, I'll never forget, I got the phone call that everyone dreads. She too had passed. It was in that moment that I lost it. I checked out. I mean, drugs and alcohol and partying to way farther excess for a year and a half down the proverbial rabbit hole, like in excess of hundreds of millions of dollars in contracts out the window, close to $80 million in cash, properties and assets up my nose and in a bottle.
Wow.
It took a few years to recover, get back on my feet, but I'll never forget 2010. I sobered up. When I got that call from the girl that I've been having a fling with, she said she was pregnant. Mm. So I sobered up. Our son was born in November. She moved to Dallas in January for a contract that I had negotiated. We were going to do this. We had this. We could do this. It's no big deal. There's light at the end of the tunnel. There's light casting the shadow. I needed to find it. But within a month, I realized she had never actually sobered up. I came home one day and found her in the bed, passed out, possibly overdosed, our baby who was just a couple months old on the ground screaming and crying. There's pills and bottles everywhere. Why? Mm-mm. I picked up my boy. What does every good gangster does? Covers his tracks. I put him back down. I took pictures, packed a bag, went to a hotel, and that Monday morning I would file for custody. My last $100,000 in the bank went to fighting for custody of my boy. And due to the drama and all the fighting in court, I ended up losing my contracts down to just $32 and no longer able to afford a hotel. My son and I found ourselves homeless, sleeping in my car. Everything was really just an emotional blur. And then came that moment by the water tower. And I remember, Tigo, I remember fighting with the idea of what I was going to do both internally and externally as I pulled the trigger not once, not twice, but three times. The gun jammed and the bullet didn't come out. And I remember thinking, this is crazy. Like, what the F? Come on, God, show up.
Did show up. That's what that was.
My son asleep in the back seat, right? I got out of the car and I started screaming and yelling at God. Exactly. I literally said, F you, show up, God. I was so pissed and furious at what I thought was who was my savior, my deliverer. And looking back on it, I see what God did for me. It was a blessing, yes. But at the time, I was in agonizing rage that God wouldn't just let me succeed with my plan, not his, my plan, not his. Mm-hmm. My emotions felt like razors in my heart and gutted with grief. I knew that when I realized that I fully understood, that's what I was on this earth for. I knew that my life was important. I had purpose for being here. And after the adrenaline had subsided and God's message was delivered, I got back in my car and I pulled into our hiding spot. And in the heat of the night, caused my clothes to be sweating. They're sticking to my skin. I closed my eyes to calm my breathing. And I heard my son's voice. Even though he was a baby sleeping undisturbed in the back, I heard him speak to me. I know babies don't talk at that age, right? Just a few months old, but I heard his voice so loud and clear. It's the same voice that he uses today when he yells up the stairs like, hey, Dad, can I go outside and play? In that terrible yet life-altering moment, I heard his child-filled, child-faith-like voice speaking directly to me. And the voice said, Daddy, everything's going to be okay.
Wow.
As if he was wide awake, confident young boy, just speaking loving, encouraging words to his dad. And transfixed on this message, I turned around and saw this boy just sleeping. I can honestly say, like, I felt his presence, like the caring child that would later enrich my life and many others, becoming my best friend, was right there with me in spirit and strength. And he reminded me of my worth, but more so my abilities. And I knew that instantly giving up was not an option. I fell asleep. I really don't remember the next few hours, but I woke up to a call from Wells Fargo Bank saying that I had some fraudulent activities on my account and I needed to come in and verify them.
Okay.
Old client wired me money. An apartment complex called me a couple hours later after leaving the bank. Hey, we got a place for you if you're still interested. I went out to my car and I'm just crying and I'm in thanks and everything just started snowballing. And I'm like, all right, I'm good. I'm comfortable. And over the next few months, I started looking for that new business opportunity. Like maybe I just go to work for someone, right? I'd establish myself and then start pitching my consulting again and going through the hurdles of entrepreneurship. I did it before. I'll do it again. I was determined to look at everything. And that's when I found real estate. That's when I found wholesaling real estate. I discovered some unique loopholes. And while dabbling around and watching YouTube, I started calling homeowners to see if they'd sell their house at a discounted rate. But I didn't have money to drive around Dallas-Fort Worth. So I did this over the phone and via email. And wouldn't you know, I conducted 23 transactions my first month, 37 my second. And that's when I knew I could build an empire in real estate. Put that in perspective, Tego. Most people never do more than 10 transactions in their life in real estate. I did over 50 in my first like 90 days, and I didn't know what I was doing.
Wow.
And here we are today. You fast forward almost 10 years. It'll be 10 years this fall. Fast forward, we've done a little over 10,000 transactions between my partners and I and our team. Just been blessed beyond your wildest dreams. Hired by Tony Robbins and Les Brown and Dr. Eric Thomas to teach my sales and real estate persuasion and process. I have no other words to say. I'm too blessed to be stressed.
Man, you have a story that, you know, when you look at your own life, I know when I look at mine, I hit brick walls. I hit one yesterday. I'm like, I'm done. I am done, you know? And then I hear somebody like you and I go, okay, I can do this tomorrow. I can do this today. You know, I'll get through this week. I'll work on next week. So I've got to ask, because I'm sure somebody out there is in their own dark space. And maybe they think there's no place to go, especially with COVID. You know, we're quote unquote coming out of it. We'll see about that. But it's been over a year of, huh? What do we do? What can't we do? Why can't we do it? We're fighting this demon that we can't even see. And they're going, maybe I want to be in sales. Maybe I need to go and see if I can sell cars, or maybe real estate is where I'm supposed to go. What advice would you give that person? How do they get started?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I've learned to look at life knowing that I can overcome anything, and so can you. If Jonah can, if this guy can, or Bob can, Sally, Heidi, and Denise can, so can you. Find the story that resonates with you. But whatever you do, regardless of your circumstances, there's always a new or different perspective than the one that's holding you back. And I truly believe that life is filled with explanation. And so if you live life as if there's another explanation, you can see other massive opportunities with all kinds of possibilities. There's always light at the end of the tunnel. Yours may just be a little longer than some. And so think about it this way. When you're in that shadow and that light is casting the shadow, go look for it. Keep pushing. Keep searching. Trust the process. Let the fire inside of you sharpen your will, right? They call me Coach Sharpen. So my friend, like, sharpen your skills and know that the best work you can do is the work you do on you.
Ooh, that's deep. That is so true.
Yeah.
That is so true. I know I've got to let you get out of here, man. I've enjoyed this. But before I let you go, please tell me, what's next? What's coming up next for Coach Sharpen?
Yeah, I love this question. And this is like completely off of real estate. You know, if you want to learn more about real estate, we can talk about that and what we've done and how we've done it completely virtual. But this is the curveball in the interview, Tego. I believe that everything happens by putting it out there and letting it come back. And so I had a vision about 3 years ago that I was sitting on some sort of platform or speaking stage. And mind you, I've spoken with the greatest of the greatest minds in the secular business world, Tony Robbins, Ty Lopez, you know, Dr. Eric Thomas, you name it, John Maxwell, out there. Here in business, I had a vision about 3 years ago. I was on stage and there was millions of people and I didn't know what it meant. So I've been looking for clarity. And then about 3-4 months ago, I had another dream and vision that I was on the same stage, but now instead of seeing the big picture, it was zoomed in and there was faces and people crying out and weeping for something. I believe it was the man upstairs, and I just happened to be the vessel that facilitated that organization. And wouldn't you know it, last week, literally a week before this interview, I was coming home from a dentist appointment, and I heard the same voice of God from my 10-year-old, now 10-year-old, back under the water tower. I heard the voice of God say, "It's time." And so what's next for me? Real estate is a vehicle. But I've got a list. I just made this list over the last few days. I've reached out to TD Jakes and Stephen Furtick and Tony Evans and Tim Keller and John Piper and Joyce Myers. I'm going to bring together the Pastors event. It's going to be the biggest, largest mastermind of pastors around the world. And we're going to not just have a mastermind, but we're going to create the world church, because denomination and religion has only segregated and separated us. Denomination, the definition of denomination is to sort and classify. And so all of these different religions and beliefs, whether you're Buddhist, Muslim, whatever, Catholic, Baptist, all we're doing is dividing us. And I'm going to bring the greatest minds in my faith and belief together to get their act right. And so what's really crazy, you look at my hat, I've been talking about being Coach Sharpen. Just last night, my accountability group, we put it out there. And now Sharpen is selflessly helping already pastors eager for nurturing. I'm about to change the world. And I feel this from the bottom of my soul. And I'm going to call every single one. And if they say they're not in, guess where their heart's at? Not for the people, but for the money. And I'm going to call them all out. I'm going to call them all out. That's what my next move is.
This man is a mover and a shaker from every direction. I want to thank you, brother, for being on. You know, I think that you and I are connected at the hip for life. It's just, I meet certain people and I go, there he is. You know, it's just that feeling like I've known you forever. And your story, I know we told this much of it. I know a lot of people want to know about wholesale real estate and all that. Before the show, we talked about doing a Q&A session live, and we'll bring you on and we'll focus on that so that they can get their questions and answers. But how do they find, like, your website? If they want to find information today, where do they go?
Thank you for asking. So you can find me on any social media, either my first and last name, Bryce McKinley, B-R-Y-C-E-M-C-K-I-N-L-E-Y, or Coach Sharpen, just like it sounds. Coach like a football coach, Sharpen just like you would sharpen an axe. Coach Sharpen. And then my website, if you want to look at like our real estate websites, it's everyhouse.io. If you want to buy or sell real estate with us, or if you want to learn our process, we have the reiresultsacademy.com. REI, Real Estate Investing Academy, or Results, excuse me, Real Estate Investing, REI, ResultsAcademy.com, REIResultsAcademy.com. We just built out a social platform, so it looks, feels, smells just like Facebook. We haven't even launched it yet live, but you can go there now and get registered. We've got an app coming out in the next week or two to where you can literally do deals right from your phone with our investors all over the world. We've got investors in China and Japan and Europe, and hundreds of thousands of investors right here in the U.S., literally, we haven't even went live and we've already had $1 million offers from other organizations in the real estate space, because this is going to change the world. And so REIResultsAcademy.com, if you want to just get plugged into the community, join the social network that we're creating in real estate, and then everyhouse.io if you want to actually sell or buy a house from us.
I thank you so much. You're amazing. I know this is one of many, you know, times we'll sit down, and who knows, maybe we'll stand on the same stages together one day when this COVID thing is finally, you know, pushed down the road somewhere, or squished like a bug that it is. But I want to thank you so much, brother, for being on the show.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much, Tigo. And thank you for listening, those of you out there, and just be encouraged. If you still got breath, you still got a reason to live. So you know what time it is. Get up, pick it up, and let's get going.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope, as always, you'll come back and see the next episode of Expert Talk. You know, his hat says sharpen, and the one thing I think of, hindsight is 2020, but if you sharpen your vision, it could be 2020 ahead too. Look for the light, find out what you need, and if you're interested in being an entrepreneur, come back to Expert Talk. I'm always talking to amazing people. Or go find Coach Sharpen, because it sounds like, no, it doesn't sound like it is. This man has a vision of life, not just of business. And as always, I'm Tigo, and I'll talk to you next time.